Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Don Adams Sweet Tea, the talk show.
On EOTM Radio. Let's talk about it.
Oh,
Hi, and welcome to your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com.
You know, when two people decide to get married, it's a pretty exciting time, but it also brings up a lot of hard questions. One of these questions is, how exactly are you and your spouse-to-be going to merge your money? The first step in doing this is to start discussing your financial goals. A good exercise to get this going is for each partner to make a list of his or her short-term goals, like paying off a credit card, getting a new car, or even going on a vacation. Then begin to list your long-term goals, like retirement or having a baby. From there, you should be able to determine which of these goals are a priority to both of you. Then, once you've identified these goals, you can focus your energy on achieving them. This is Gil Michelle.
That was your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com. To get more information and receive our free newsletter, visit BlackMoneyMatters.com.
Hey, family, welcome to another edition of the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. No big secret, I'm him. Welcome back, family. I start my shows out, and I'm proud of say that, you know, I appreciate everyone's time for tuning in, because there's so many other places that you could be rather than tuning in and listening to me. So with that being said, let me give up my family's acknowledgement, my normal acknowledgement to the EOTM family. We're going to start out with Carla B., our fearless leader, Ronnie, the first lady of GPT, Q, sitting on the East Coast, my man Jimmy, EOTM Baker, Ron, of course, and his sidekick, Mother Jenkins, and also Queen G, Say to Say, and the rest of the EOTM street team. Show information, as always, family, is www.eotmradio.com, or you can go to www.queensofinternetradio.com. Studio call in, of course, 718-664-6543. And the blog room will be open shortly. I can guarantee you that. Also, I want to send shouts out to our folks that are overseas in Jamaica, the UK, Australia, New Zealand. It used to be New Zealand. Well, I know we have other family in New Zealand. They just never call blog in. But New Zealand and the rest of the family that's tuning in as well. And I always like to put it out there that the show is very international. With that being said, you know, tonight's show and topic is a bit of a sensitive one. It's no secret. Actually, I want to start this thing out right. So now that we've got the normal acknowledgments out of the way, I know that there's some folks who are probably going to want to call in, because tonight we're talking about dyslexia. Dyslexia, and we're also going to touch on bone marrow transplants as well later on in the show. We've got some interesting calls that are going to come up. So with that being said, family, we're going to take a very, very, very brief intermission, or break, commercial, however we want to consider it. And we'll be right back, and then we're going to start this thing off and chop it up with our guests for the evening. All right, family, stick with us.
You will learn to love, and we both know you're wrong. There's nothing you can do. Oh,
Welcome back, family, to another edition, once again, of the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Now, before we took the commercial break there, you know, I started out a little briefly on the topic that's going to be discussed for tonight. And, you know, I kind of touched on it lightly, but it's dyslexia. And also, I mentioned it later on in the show, we're going to be, I'm going to put some information out about being bone marrow transplant donors. Once again, I don't need to say what group in particular has led the category and those that don't like to donate. But with that being said, all right, family, tonight we're talking about dyslexia. You know, a lot of folks don't even know what dyslexia is. Never heard of it. I didn't hear it until I actually went entered into college. You know, and it was that was the first time I'd ever heard of it. But you know, dyslexia is a very common issue in today's society. You know, and I don't think that it's a new phenomenon. I think that it's something that's always been around because you know, back in the day, they used to be quick to tell people or throw people in mental institutions when they felt like they couldn't learn or they weren't fast enough. Or if there was some issues with their reading abilities, they would say that they were mentally ill because there was no way to treat them. Well, I think that dyslexia is a condition that's been around for centuries. It's just that we just not had a name for it, a way to deal with it, or anything devoted to discovering it. But dyslexia, here's the question. Some of y'all are probably asking, what is dyslexia? It's a complex language issue. It has to do with when the brain works, not with the vision. In other words, you know, yeah, the brain works not with the vision. It involves not being able to break a word down into the sounds that make it up and not being able to write and think about the sounds in a word. Kids with dyslexia have brains that work differently to process language. They have problems translating language into thought in listening or reading and thought into language. In writing or speaking. That was a very textbook definition of what dyslexia is. But to break it down a little bit, you know, I just want to put it out there that a lot of folks don't know that dyslexia is the most common learning disability, and that 80% of the students with learning disorders also have dyslexia. And one other thing, too, family, is that dyslexia affects boys more than girls, and that's what the statistics are showing and saying. Tonight, we're fortunate to have with us a guest who has come forward, and she has shared with me that she also has overcome the condition, dyslexia. To my knowledge, she is a businesswoman. She's successful in her perspective arena, and it doesn't. And I mention that because it doesn't appear as though the condition of dyslexia was able to slow this sister's role. So you know, and the moment I think that she heard about the story, I think she you know she mentioned that she wanted to put her own out there, sort of a guiding light. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to tell her story. I'm going to go ahead and bring her on, and I'm going to introduce her, Sherry.
Yes. Hello.
Okay, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I know you heard the introduction there and the spiel I gave about dyslexia. But, you know, again, I wanted to put your information out there and as best I could and set the stage as best I could and basically give you the green light and tell us what you want us to know about your particular circumstances, and then we'll go from there. For those that want to call and ask your questions, the number to call in is 718-664-6543. And once again, you're listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show live. Go ahead, Sheree.
Well, hi. Of course, my name is Sheree Fairfax, and I was, you know, dyslexia is something that you're born with. It's a very genetic situation. My father has it. I have a daughter that has it, but not as severe as I do. So it's a very, very genetic trait that is passed on. People with dyslexia process information differently. For instance, we tend to be more visual people, and so we don't learn the same. And then the school system, of course, I was diagnosed, I think, when I was in grammar school, early elementary school. And Don is right. A lot of people are just more so learning in the last 20 years, more so how to try to address the different disabilities. And so lots of times you hear about the child, but you don't hear about the adult that grows up with the dyslexia and how they have to deal with society. We don't overcome our disabilities. We just learn how to deal with them and how to compensate for the disability. But it is sometimes it needs to be told under the ADA rules as it relates to Protecting Americans with Disabilities Act. And so sometimes there's protections in the workplace. But it's a very, as far as my disability is concerned, a person wouldn't visually look at me and see that I have a disability. So it can be a discriminating disability because you, in order to explain that you might need a special accommodation to do your work or something like that, you have to come out. It's like being gay. You feel like that a bit. And it's very uncomfortable sometimes because people will misjudge a disability with being not bright. And Einstein had dyslexia. Picasso had dyslexia. There's a long list, long list. And actually, people with dyslexia happen to have a very artistic trait on the other side. So it's a thing of understanding the child as they grow up and learning how to guide them into an area as they develop, moving with them instead of trying to figure out, well, maybe this person may and may not be a doctor, but let me find out what their strengths are and emphasize on those. I could speak on and on about it, but if anyone has any questions, I would be very happy to entertain it. I have a cousin that had dyslexia or has it, and I'm 47. He is older than me, and when I, confessed to him that I had dyslexia, he cried. He basically cried because he felt that he struggled in this world with something that nobody else could understand. And so we shared it, and we deal with each other as far as, AIDS and how you deal with it versus how I deal with it and things like that. It needs the whole dyslexic aspect needs to come out as it relates to it's something that's hidden in the closet, so to speak. You don't want to be perceived as being not bright, but yet you have a disability that you the right and left hemisphere of my brain, if somebody did an autopsy and someone understood the brain, they could see a biological makeup difference. There's a biological makeup difference. So there's not something that, I'll tell you a sad story and it hurts, but I can tell you that I remember my mother one time, because she didn't raise me, but I went to visit her, and she found out I had this disability, and she said, well, you go in the bathroom with this newspaper, and you can't come out until you can read it. Well, that's what I mean about the misnomer of not understanding. Parents have to try to understand if they have children with disabilities, because it's nothing worse than to be hurt by someone that you respect. Once they lose faith in the child with a disability, it tends to be something that someone would cover up and try to hide more so than come out and learn how to deal with it. So I'm open for questions, and anybody that may have any thoughts or even think they know someone that has it, I can tell you about, some of the telltale signs, as if, one of the things, if you don't even know you struggle with this disability, it hasn't been labeled for you, is telling right from left. To, if you're walking down the street and someone told you make a quick right, you may have to think about that. The dyslexic person tends to have to think about that before they actually make the turn or make a right or left move in that aspect. So it's a processing disorder. However, I also look at it as a gift, because there are traits that I have that I emphasize on. And those are the type of things that I excel as far as business and things like that. I've heard it said as a curse, and then I've also heard it being spoke of as a blessing for the things that it. My father's an artist. He tend to be very artistic and creative and think outside the box. So So, Don, I don't know if you have any questions for me. I'd be happy to answer anything.
Yeah.
I just don't talk. Because I'll be happy to.
No, you're fine. You're fine. And, you know, I just want to say out front, too, to thank you again for coming, you know, up with your story. Because, you know what, family, I don't know if you listened in on what some of what you were saying. She has been successful in the business arena, and, you know, her strengths lie in that arena. And so she's able to maximize that, which, you know, tells you up front that she's probably familiar with quite a few people who may or may not be listening in on this show through second or first party. But what I'm basically saying is that, you know, she was courageous in coming forth with her story, and we want to show our gratitude to her for that, because I know it had to have been difficult for her to do that. Without any further ado, let's keep it moving, because I've got another interesting caller on the line. Let's see if this is the right lady. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, how are you? You're with the Don Adams Senior Talk Show?
Hi, this is Phyllis Thomas.
How are you?
Yeah, I was calling you.
How are
you? I'm good.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just calling in because I had an opportunity to actually meet Cherie, I was very captivated by her story of dyslexia, because just sitting there talking with her, I never would have, even clued in on the fact that she was even battling with something like that.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that, because actually you bring something to light, is that it is a battle for me dealing with a disability. It doesn't go away every day. However, with the proper some aids, life is easier. But, you know, I've heard a lot of people say it can be overcome. You know, perhaps there's ways that I learn how to deal with things easier, but I have never seen it go away. I just decide I'm going to live with it. You know, it's just, I mean, I could be born with not a leg or an arm, and instead I was born with a processing disorder. So I learned how to deal with it, you know, and, you know, things like that. No, but I appreciate what you're saying, because most people would look at me and be very shocked when they find out I battle with, you know, something like that or anything, you know. So that's why I'm trying to break the myth as it relates to learning disabilities. You need to, especially I'll say with kids, as they mature and everything and grow into what they're going to be, you need to look at what their strong parts are, what their strong assets are, and push those things as it relates to their development, because the job market could be tough for a person with a disability. However, if they have a gift, and a parent, when this child is developing, actually fosters that gift, then therefore the person has an avenue, or at least they know what ways they work best and which ways they could possibly excel in society and things like that. Then there's different severity levels as well. So, but I appreciate that, Phyllis.
Oh, not a problem. And also, Don, I was calling in because I know you said that a little later in the show you wanted to talk about bone marrow. So I'll just kind of hang back until you're ready to get into that subject matter.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that. Excuse me, what we're going to do, family, is I do have a question for Cherie before we go. I was going to take a break and come back and let you go ahead with your piece. But I do have a question for you. Something that you mentioned was levels of severity. I don't think a lot of people really understand that. Can you touch on that for us briefly? Levels
mm-hmm.
of severity?
I'll be happy to. One form of dyslexia and learning disabilities are considered as an umbrella in the learning disability category. So there's an umbrella of disabilities, and you have to find what area and how severe. Like I was saying earlier, my father's dyslexia and my dyslexia, as to how it manifests in our lives, are more on the similar side. My daughter, because she was born, you know, through me and all my daughter, then her severity level doesn't seem to be as severe, or it's easier for her. And so with that said, you don't want to foster supports that don't need to be there. I would say in a child going to school, they need to learn how to, or parent needs to learn how to have that child as much as mainstream as possible, because that helps you to deal with society when you leave the, you know, the school system and things like that. So it's very important to find out. Just don't stick your kid in a special education class. You need to be involved to understand, you know, how you can have that kid strive as much as possible without being overcompensated in an area that maybe it weakens their ability to cope in the arena of dyslexia, if you can understand what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. You know, and at the top of the show, I also mentioned, too, that one of the biggest misconceptions out there with people that are dealing with the condition used to be that they were just retarded or mentally ill and couldn't learn. And this was before, as far as I can tell with the research that I've done, that there was even a name for dyslexia, or that there was even an identifiable way to even treat it, let alone a name for it. So what I'm saying is, in effect, again, is that she's right, because imagine how many people that have come before her and were just simply misunderstood and ended up being introduced into a special education course, which was something, special education classes, which is certainly something that even those of us as adults today know that we know somebody somewhere who still suffers from being in classes and courses like that and didn't necessarily belong. But with that being said, I want to keep it moving, family, and we want to thank Sherry once again for opening up to us. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to go ahead and give our caller give our caller the floor so that she can put her information up. All right, we'll be right back, family.
Without cops harassing, imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue behind the waters, no welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters. Days are shorter, nights are colder. Feeling like life is over. These snakes strike like a cobra. The world's hot, my son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a place. Knowledge, if coke was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing, fashion, designer clothes. Lacing your click up with diamond rolls. Your people holding dough, no parole, no rubbers. Going raw, imagine law with no undercovers. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time. Watch the blimp read, the world is mine.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my sons. I love them, baby. Black diamonds above.
Could it be, if you could be mine, we both shine.
If I rule the world,
still living for today, in these last days of time. Nowhere to be, paradise life relaxing. Black, Latino, and Anglo-Saxon. I'm on the exchange, the range, cast. Lost tribes are bad. Free at last, brand new whips to crash. Then we laugh in the illa path. The villa houses for the crew, how we do. Trees for breakfast, dime sexes have been stretches. So many years of depression make me vision the better living, type of place to raise kids in. Open the eyes to the lies, history's so foul. But I'm as wise as the old owl, plus the gold child. Seeing things like I was controlling, click rolling. Tricking six digits on kicks and still holding. Trips to Paris, I civilize every savage. Give me one shot, I turn trite life to lavish. Political prisoners set free, stress free, no work release, purple M3s and jet skis, feel the wind breeze in West Indies, I lick Coretta Scott King, mayor of the cities, and reverse things to Willie's, it's down foul, but every girl I meet to go downtown, I'd open every cell in Attica, send them to Africa, imagine that.
Right up to the sun.
You love to hear the story, how the thugs live in worry. Ducked down in car seats, heat's mandatory. Running from Jake, getting chased, hunger for pace. These are the breaks, many mistakes, go down out of state. Wait, I had to let it marinate, we carry weight, trying to get laced. Flip the A stack to safe, millionaire plan to keep the gap with the cock hammer. Making moves in Atlanta, back and forth scrambler. Cause you can have all the chips, be poor or rich, still nobody want a nigga have a shit. If I rule the world and everything in it, sky's the limit, I push the Q45 infinite. It wouldn't be no such thing as jealousies, a B felony. Strictly living longevity to the destiny I thought I'd never see, but reality struck. Better find out before your time's out. What the fuck?
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my sons.
I love them, baby.
Black diamonds above.
Could it be if you could be mine, we both shine?
If I rule the world,
still living for today in these last days of time.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my sons.
I love them, baby.
Black diamonds above.
Could it be if you could be mine, we both shine?
If I rule the world,
still living for today, in these last days of time.
If I rule the world,
if I rule,
I free all my
diamonds. I love them, baby.
Black diamonds above.
If I rule,
if I rule the world, if I rule the world.
Hey, family, welcome back to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. We're talking about dyslexia tonight, family, and also we're going to be mentioning later on in the show bone marrow transplants. I'm going to share some interesting information with you about the topic and give you some insight on Friday night's show as well. But with that being said, I'd like to bring back the caller to share some information with you all, family, and give us some information about who she is.
Okay, thank you very much, Don. My name is Phyllis Zachary Thomas, and I'm the founder and president of the SCD Soldier Network. And SCD stands for sickle cell disease. And one of the reasons why I wanted to call in today, and I'm so glad that on Friday you're planning on dedicating a little bit of time to the subject of bone marrow, is that for the first time, we have a real viable cure for sickle cell. And although it's, you know, mainly for the children at this time, it is still, you know, very much an option of hope for the entire community.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Very interesting. Very interesting. It's a learning night for everybody. But you know what? Before we move on, I wanted to ask you: didn't you have a book that was out on the
Yes, actually, the book just became available. It's called Sickle Cell Disease: 100 Years Later, and it really came in at a good time. The founder of the Apex Museum, Atlanta historian Dan Moore Sr., actually approached me about doing this book, and so I actually co-authored it with him because we're now celebrating 100 years since the first case of sickle cell was actually described in Western literature. So with the actual centennial year being here and this book, it's just a wonderful time for the sickle cell community to give sickle cell a new voice, and that's the entire reason why the SCD Soldier Network was even formed, to be able to, you know, go on platforms and bring more awareness to the disease, and not only just awareness to the disease, but to the actual battle. And so that's what the book is. It's an actual transparent look into not only my life and what led me to form SCD Soldier Network, but the lives of others who battle the same disorder. Mm-hmm. And that brings me to Taylor John.
And you know what? And that's where I was trying to go. I'm kind of leaning towards that direction about Miss Taylor there. So with that being said, since you mentioned it, let's go ahead and put that out there. And family, don't forget we are talking about dyslexia tonight. And we have on the line Sherry Fairfax with us, who's in the Atlanta area, who has shared her story with us. Very interesting story, very encouraging story as well. But there's some other things about Ms. Fairfax that I want to try to get her to share, too, as well, family, some other successful stories. She's kind of balling up on me. She's not really telling us everything, but we're going to get it out of her. But with that being said, go ahead and please go ahead and give us the story as briefly about Ms. Taylor.
Okay. Taylor John is a 15-year-old young lady who has sickle cell disease, and she has been on the bone registry for 5 years, and she is approaching her 16th birthday. Now, what's really special about that is that they usually don't like to do the children version of the bone marrow transplant once you've turned 16. So we're in a mad dash trying to find her a match. And so we've had a couple of donor drives for her. And so anybody interested in knowing anything about sickle cell and bone marrow, I just encourage you to stay tuned on Friday to listen in so that I can share lots more about it. But this young lady lives in Atlanta, Georgia, and she's in desperate need of a bone marrow match. And I just can't say enough about the importance of more African Americans, especially to donate, because with sickle cell disease being such a health problem in our community, we just don't have enough people on the registry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to support. Can I say something, Don, really quick?
Go ahead, by all means.
Okay. I'm going to support Phyllis Friday night. I'd like you to please tune in because I actually was a donor. So I'll speak on the aspect of being a stem cell donor, which was under the bone marrow need. African Americans die every day because we, as minorities, I'll speak about all minorities, are afraid because of the past, Tuskegee 626 and things like that. We've been afraid to donate, yet we die, and no one really says anything. We need each other to genetically match for each other. Most likely we won't cross match with another Caucasian. It's going to be someone like ourselves that need to stand up. So please tune in Friday. I'll be happy to share my story, and Phyllis will share her story as battling sickle cell as well, and explaining the serious need.
Thank you. Thank you for that piece. We've been trying to get the blog room open since the show began, family. I want to put it out there that it's about to be open for those of you who like to send your comments through the blog room. The number to call if you want to speak with either Phyllis or with Sherry, 718-664-6543. And that's the call-in number for tonight if you have any questions about some of the information or any of the information that we're going to put out. And, you know, again, I want to thank them both for coming up. And I'm especially, you know, and especially my heart especially goes out to Ms. Taylor. You know, just to be at that age and have to deal with so much makes me wonder, you know, when somebody says the phrase, take a walk in my shoes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, take a walk in my shoes. All right, family, with that being said, you know, Ms. Fairfax, actually, before we get started with her, because, you know, I want to try to get her to open up a little bit more, but that's, you know, don't get nervous on me, Sherry, okay?
I'm not used to this.
I wanted to put some more statistical information out there about the dyslexia topic, family. You know, some of the things, y'all know I love statistics on this show. But I want to, and I know that Sherry also touched briefly on some of the tall tale signs and different levels of dyslexia, but I want to kind of piggyback off of that, put this information out there for you, family, because, you know, once again, I do love statistics. According to what I've got here, here are the signs of reading problems in the early years when you're dealing with a child who is dyslexic or may have the condition. They don't know how to hold a book. They may hold it upside down, sideways, you know, looking at it other than the right or the correct way. They can't tell the difference between letters and squiggles. Oftentimes they can't recognize their own name. Only says a small number of words. Doesn't like rhyming games and can't fill in the rhyming word in a familiar nursery rhyme. You know, and those are some of the things that are listed by the experts as you know, early warning signs of dyslexia issues. But before we go on, family, I wanted to put this out there as well. Why is early diagnosis and treatment so important? When dyslexia is not found and treated early on, what it does is it tends to snowball. As kids get more and more behind in school, they may become more and more frustrated, feeling like a failure, and often self-esteem issues will develop. And then you'll start to see the bad behavior and other problems, other behaviors. Mm-hmm. Now, when dyslexia is not noticed or not treated, it can cause adult literacy issues. Now, I brought that piece to the table because Sherry mentioned that, you know, hey, adults have dyslexia as well as kids do, and oftentimes, you know, people just associate that with children. And she's right, because at the end of the day, family, what happens is a young child with dyslexia grows up to be an older person with dyslexia. So back in the day when we had all those other children that were there that were dealing with it, where did they go? They're all grown now. And so that's why we do have a high number of adults out there that are dealing with the same types of issues. But, you know, I liken that to say this. You know, I was prior to getting a hold of Sherry and getting some of the other information that I've obtained about this particular topic, even as a grown, educated man, and y'all know I like to tell you about it, I am majoring in forensic psychology. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I was ignorant about some things when it came to dyslexia, so I had to do my research as well. So, you know, what I'm saying, family, is if we don't know, we have a duty to find out. I believe that. We have a duty to find out, and once we do know, we have a duty to act. So with that being said, Sherry, let me concentrate on this. Did you have anything else you wanted to add about that, about some of the information I put out there, Sherry? I'm sorry.
Actually, yes. Behavioral problems in children, and especially boys, Don was exactly correct, that boys tend to have the learning disabilities more so than girls do. And so one of the telltale as well is check why your kid may be acting out. When they're bored, frustrated because they can't process and there's no environment for them to learn correctly, what are they going to do with their little energy? They're going to act a fool. So, you know, instead of, you know, getting that kid and whooping them and things like this, you tend to exacerbate the issue and not deal with the issue. At least that kid, I want to go back to special education. All special education is not wrong. Special education sometimes exists because they separate the person that needs special assistance in an area, and the learning process is different. So therefore, there's lots of times there's a different class. The problem with that different environment is that because I said there are severity levels with dyslexia, not all dyslexics are the same, and therefore they get pigeonholed into one environment where they perhaps could have learned a little bit more mainstream, and they stifle, it stifles your growth. So you have to be involved as a parent if you have a person, even a friend or a significant other. Like I said, I'm an adult that grew up with this disability. My partner would need to know, you know what's difficult, and you have to come out with it. You need to, you know, say, and then you hopefully have someone that understands or has an open mind. Because I've known married couples where one person hid the whole thing and they never told it because they were that embarrassed, male or female, to deal with the issue. So, you know, you have to educate yourself to understand. I don't feel stupid, but if I don't have someone that has the ability to understand what I deal with, I would not be comfortable dealing with someone that didn't have an ability to try to process what's going on with me that's different, you know. So
wow, I see that's wow, that's just deep. Sherry, we have a caller on the line, and I'm going to open it up so that see if they have a question for you. You're on the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show Live. Hello. Yes, they just want to listen in. Hello, caller on the line. Okay.
I think he said he just wanted to listen.
Okay. Well, Sherry? Hello?
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
I'm here.
Listen, now, all right, now, let's get back to you. All right, now, I know, and this one, at the top of the show before I brought you on, I had mentioned to the family that that you were successful in what you do. I also mentioned that I'm trying to get you to bring it out there as far as you want to go with it. But okay, here's the question: how successful in the business? How successful in the business arena have you been without? You know, going too far into detail, but just I'm gonna leave it open so you can kind of just answer it the way you.
Yeah.
Okay. How successful are you?
I know where he wants to go, and I'm gonna try to help him get there. So here's the issue. Like I said, let's go back to the child and helping to develop. I'm actually, of course, I'm a woman. I'm letting you know I'm a woman, but I'm a licensed general contractor, commercial and residential builder. So what happens? Think back when I say. The ability to be creative. I did not swim upstream being a woman in a non-traditional field as a contractor to be a builder, renovation, and things like that here in the Atlanta area. However, that seems to be my strong suit. So instead of playing on my weaknesses and going into a job that was a typing secretary, which would be pulling my hair out, I'm going into the direction that I excel in. So I like to tear a house apart and put it together and all that kind of thing. And I'm not, you know, and that's my business. I have a business called CFAX Urban Development Group, and I'm the CEO of the of my business, and I'm actually the license holder in my business as a licensed general contractor. So I thoroughly am, what would you call, I'm comfortable in my own skin. I love my work. I speak on it even when I'm not having to deal with the renovation. And so, therefore, it goes back to me explaining that you should look at a person with a disability or anybody for that matter. Don't swim upstream. Figure out what you like. And so, therefore, I like to build houses and renovate and do something, tearing something down and building it up. But when I think back at myself being a child, I was doing those same things. I had done upholstery, and I was always doing something. If you can think back, I'm a visual learner, so I can take things apart with my eyes and put it back together. So I'm just doing what is naturally, in line with who I am. And I say that, I stress on that because, again, if you have children, when you don't have a disability, okay, let's just say you're, quote, normal, and you don't know what to do with us. You may not know what to do with us. And so I'm telling you to try to look at, find out, study your child or the person you're with, and find out what their strengths are. All you're doing is emphasizing on what type of things they may be able to survive within this world based on their strengths. And you play on those. Also, I'll go into
Sherry,
out.
Wait a minute,
coming
Sherry. All right, Sherry. All right.
Okay.
All right, let me see if we can get this caller on the line.
Okay.
No, you're good. And, you know, that's why I said, family, I wanted to go as far into it as, you know, as I think she needs to. And the reason being is because, you know, in my personal and professional opinion, it's very amazing to me that she has been able to make it as far as she has. And to do the things she's done, because it doesn't sound, and Sherry, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't sound as if you had any, I don't know, you may have had some formal training or help at a later or earlier stage in your life. When did that come into effect?
Actually, I had, you know, assistance through the public school system, DOD school system, that's the Department of Defense dealing with, you know, being a military brat. And so, and special education, and a lot of my own, we compensate for our weaknesses. We tend to be very creative. So when I couldn't find something that could help me, if somebody didn't have something that could help me, I'm very determined. I don't like to wait. If it's something I want to do, I'll do, you know, I want to figure out how to do it. So those are things like, for instance, I'll tell you guys, it's a secret, but it'll help a person with a disability, is they have this software called Dragon Speak. I talk to my computer, and it writes out what I say. you know, and so that's a coping mechanism for me instead of me swimming upstream. In the technology, when it first came out, it was $10,000. You know, I had Department of Rehab, Rehabilitation under the ADA Act to pay for such things. So, go ahead.
But you know what, Sherry, that's important. Something that you just mentioned right there was the ADA Disabilities Act. So what you're saying is if you have a disability that is listed under the ADA, in the ADA category, that it's very possible, or maybe you can tell us how that process is done, that if you're in need of some equipment, like such as what you spoke about as far as, right, how you can go about getting that.
That's very important. That if you in school, if you're diagnosed with a bona fide disability that falls under the Americans with Disabilities Act, then you're covered. You're covered in laws like the laws of employment, not being discriminated. Now, not to say you won't be discriminated, a person with disability won't, but at least if you know what your rights are, you have the ability to deal with the system. So understanding.
Well, let me say it like this, Sherry. Is there, in order to get the equipment that someone would need in order to benefit from it, for, in other words, enhance whatever area they're trying to enhance, being that this condition is covered under the ADA Act or is recognized, what's the process? I mean, in other words, what I'm saying is, do they contact the Americans with Disabilities folks? I mean, who would they need to contact to get that type of equipment?
Yeah, good question. First of all, typically Department of Rehabilitation, which is government, if you qualify for such services, you can be aided under the Department of Rehabilitation. Everybody thinks of that as drug and alcohol dependency, but it also is anything that if you qualify, you can get aided through. So, for instance, when I first was in search of employment, I went to them, and I was looking through all avenues, you know, and so therefore, you know, I went through tests, and of course, I qualify under the Americans with Disabilities Act, and therefore, I had figured out at some point that there was a software out there that, you know, you could talk to. I said, my God, if I could talk to my computer, then I could deal with this disability, because I spell phonetically, which is, means the way words sound, and so sometimes I may not, someone else doesn't understand what I wrote. So therefore, talking in my computer is an accommodation, as they would say, under the Americans with Disabilities Act, which allows you to be more equal.
Okay. But you know, and that's the thing. And that's the thing. And so they're more than likely and more as to pay for the equipment. I guess is where I was trying to go with that. But thank you for that answer for sure. Phyllis, did you have any questions for Sherry? Because some of the comments that you laid out earlier, it sounds as though you're just now finding this out.
You mean as far as Sheree is concerned?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, actually, we just recently met because of a celebration of World Sickle Cell Day, and she happened to be there. And just talking with her, it just rang a lot of bells because I have a brother who also has dyslexia, and I don't know that I really discussed that with her on the day that we spoke, but he is also an inventor. My mom had ruptured brain aneurysm and was bedbound, and because I had sickle cell and was not able to, you know, properly turn her and do things in order to change her adult diaper, he created a diaper product that kept me from having the strain of turning her. Mm-hmm. And so it just kind of chimed. He was one of those kids that when you got a toy, he broke it so that he could fix it.
Wow.
So I was wondering if that's really just a real trait of someone with dyslexia.
We gotta fix things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so you know. Well, you know what? I wanna say this though. You know, and that's why when we did the advertisement for this show, you know, the way that I worded it was dyslexia can be a curse or a blessing. And that's why I said this, because from some of the research that I've studied, since learning about this is that when, you know, and this is a natural phenomenon in any aspect of the human body. Think about what I'm about to say. I'll say it first, and then I'll give you an example. But when folks of dyslexia tend to, just as Sherry said earlier, to excel in other areas mentally. And that is sort of, in my opinion, is one of those natural compensations of nature. I'll give you an example. When you lose your eyesight, for some reason you can go outside. You know, owls can fly by. I can hear mice underneath the snow up to 3 feet or so. Well, people that are blinded tend to have very, 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 very acute hearing because their senses, other senses, become heightened because of the loss of one, so that the body can compensate for the loss of that sense. So that, and I said it to say that's what kind of helped me make the relationship with this dyslexia versus people with dyslexia being intelligent in other areas. So I wanted to put that out there as an example. But with that being said, Phyllis, did you have any questions that you wanted to ask of Sherry directly?
Yes, I'd like to know, being a businesswoman, how you, or did you hide the fact that you had dyslexia?
Good question. Okay, you're going to just like make, I'm just like raw out there, but it's okay. I'm going to go there. Okay. You know, I'm being very honest. I'm telling some dyslexic secrets right now. I'm going to say that. We are very clever. We have the ability, we will learn things that will help us out of a situation if we can't deal with it. For instance, like, I don't wear glasses now, so if anybody knows, I can't use this. But anyway, I don't wear glasses. But if I had a problem, if someone gave me a speech and told me, okay, you're on cue, do it now, just read what's on there. I don't have my glasses. I gotta I wear some contacts. Well, I didn't know you were, oh yeah, well I don't, you know, and I'm out of it because you're not gonna put me on stage and I cannot tell this issue right now. So
right.
You know, that's one thing. I'm always gonna be prepared before I get to a business meeting, because of the fact that I need to compensate. Anything, I'm always thinking ahead of the game, because I have to compensate for the fact that I can't let everyone know this. I don't have time for them to figure out, you know, if they're going to work with me because I got a disability. I don't have time for that. So, therefore, I have to be very much prepared to think ahead of the box as it relates to what might come up as it relates to exposing my disability.
Wow, that's huge. You know what, family, I want to say this because I'm getting messages from family asks wanting to know, is the blog room open? The blog room is open, so you guys go ahead and flood in there and put your comments out there so I can read them. So the blog room is open, family, and I'm sorry if I'm not reading everyone's comments from my instant messages. I'm really over here working the boards, and I'm trying to keep up with my guests, so I'm very upfront here. So with that being said, if y'all are going to the blog room, that way it'll make it easy for me to concentrate on your comments, and I can get some of your questions out there for Phyllis and for Sherry, because Phyllis, if someone wants to hear the story of the young lady again, so we're going to give you the opportunity to put that out there as well.
Okay. With Taylor John, like I said, she has sickle cell disease. Not quite sure when she was diagnosed, but she has had a series of problems which even put her as a likely candidate for bone marrow or stem cell transplant. And so she's been on the list for 5 years. And, you know, it's really difficult because if anybody knows anything about sickle cell disease, sickle cell anemia in particular, 45 years is the expected life expectancy of a female that suffers with sickle cell anemia. And 45 years in which I turned last year.
Oh.
So and that story will be told on Friday, so guys, you're going to have to come back for that one. But Taylor is definitely at the age where time is running out for her in regards to being able to be cured of sickle cell.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but when you say time is running out, I mean, and I don't want to get too far into it, but can you give us a very, very, very brief example of what you mean? Time is running
when
out.
I say time is running out for a cure, I mean the procedures that they're using now to cure children of sickle cell disease is much less harsh than that an adult would have to endure. And because mm-hmm. she's at that age, she's right at the cutoff. Her birthday is August the 15th. And if she does not get the bone transplant by her 16th birthday, then I don't know if she comes off the list, but I know that she won't be eligible for the procedure that she is currently eligible for. So
which
that's what I mean when
forward.
I say the
right.
yeah, the time is running yeah. out on this particular option for her.
And she's going to be entering into a lot of pain and discomfort as it relates to that. So we really want you to tune in. We're sticking our heads in the sand as it relates to standing up to the plate to think about being a donor. We need each other so bad, minorities specifically. And I'm speaking of Latinos as well as, you know, African Americans and things like that, Chinese, Japanese, all of minorities are in this category that we don't stand up to the plate because we are not comfortable with this aspect for whatever reason. And so we'll go into that, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I want to say this. And Jam Time, how you doing? I see you coming in to the blog. Welcome. We're talking about dyslexia, and we're also right now talking about bone marrow transplants. We just finished telling an interesting story about the young lady young lady who's in need of a transplant, and there's a time restraint in her particular case. But I don't want to get too far into that because we're gonna cover that on Friday night show because we definitely want to put her information out there. And who knows? Somebody may go and register and end up being a match for this young lady. But you know, at this point in time, we're talking about and also one of you guys mentioned too that you know, folks don't like to go and be donors. You know, here's something that I think is very interesting, is that a lot of times people want to stick their heads in the sand and ignore issues and problems until it lands on their doorsteps. And I say that to say this, and family, everyone in the shower of my voice knows that I speak my mind, which I, you know, also appreciate from my guests. So I hold back no punches, whether it comes to my own people or not. But I say that to say this, that especially in the African American community, we like to stick our heads in the sand when things don't affect us directly. Today, it's the neighbor's child. Today, it's the guy living up the street who you never hardly speak to, but it doesn't matter. It's somebody's issue. And see, the thing I think we need to recognize in life is that when we have an issue, especially a genetic or a natural issue such as this one, I think we owe it to ourselves, number one, to find out, number two, to intervene if we can, and number three, to make sure that we're available to help those that need our help. And that's why I'm saying it the way I'm about to say it, which is we can't just keep sticking our damn heads in the sand when it comes to matters of the heart such as the ones that we're discussing tonight. So with that being said, everybody, let's go out and see if we're a match.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day,
yeah.
let's just go out and get tested.
Let me also add that I really do believe that when people know that a need exists,
mm-hmm.
that there is something that will cause them to activate. And within the sickle cell community itself, there is a shroud of silence because we've been taught basically what happens in this house stays in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
a lot of times because of the disadvantages of being discriminated in the workplace or in other areas, we don't oftentimes tell people what our specific battles are. And
mm-hmm.
so they just don't know. They
mm-hmm.
don't know. And until I started this organization and then became affiliated with Mr. Moore, who also founded Marrow for Life, I didn't know because it wasn't mm-hmm. an option for me as an adult female with sickle cell anemia who has had all of the problems that I've had. I'm just not a candidate for a bone marrow transplant. And so it wasn't even an issue that I was aware of, nor was I pushing it or bringing it to light. So I think that just by bringing it to light will be a one hurdle that we
mm-hmm.
really have to cross.
And wow, she speaks the truth. Yeah, because actually that was the same case scenario for myself when I was called to be a match for someone. I just signed up to be on the Merrill Registry, and all of a sudden, 7 years later, I turned up to be a match for someone. So I was like, what is this all about? This was a new journey. But I was honored. I was very honored to be able to save a life. I'd do it all over again. So we'll talk about that Friday. So I want to go there
yeah,
and stay on the way.
Wow,
yeah.
powerful stuff. But, you know, and that's so interesting. But, you know, I say that because, you know, on my shows, we usually talk about social and political issues, things that affect us financially, things that affect us globally, things that affect us as a community. We talk about the criminal justice system. We talk about a lot of different things about how, you know, there's social traps out there, every single thing. And we get plenty of calls and plenty of comments and things from folks overseas and folks in other countries. But here's where I'm going, family. If we can sit down and just for once take ourselves out of our own situations, and I say this straight from the heart because, you know, and I'm going to be honest with you, what sparked this show was when I heard the story about the young lady. You know, if we can for once take ourselves out of basically the selfishness mold that we tend to, you know, always see ourselves in, and just for once mentally imagine that we are walking in someone else's shoes. And I say that to say this. Imagine that you just happen to draw this young lady's shoes and you're mm-hmm. walking in her shoes. What would be on your mind? And, you know, we did a show last week about a brother who's in prison for life who feels like he was wrongfully prosecuted. And this brother's been in prison for 10 years. No one wants to listen to him the whole night. You know, we did a show to give him a voice. And the reason why we did that was because my thing, again, is always put yourself in someone else's place. What mm-hmm. would you want that person to do for you? Now, you know, I had no idea that African Americans were the lowest in the category of donations when it comes to bone marrow transplants, when it comes to bone marrow. And I say that to say this, you know, if we have energy and finances, and I say finances because some people, you know, go out and they do things frivolously with their energy and their finances, but if we can go out and toss those things out, why can't we take the time to sit down and take a test and see if we can possibly save a life? I say that to say this. As a community, we need to establish our priorities. Mm-hmm. We always talk about the family structure and those things that are disconnecting black men from black women. But what about those things that are diminishing our race from within on the surface? So that's why I put it out there like that, family. So why can't we go get checked? Phyllis, anything else you want to say about that? And then we're going to switch back over to the dyslexia issue because I got some more questions I want to ask you.
No, but it was very interesting listening to your comments because it just made me think the actual event that brought me and Sherry together was World Sickle Cell Day. And the reason why we even have a World Sickle Cell Day is because the United Nations declared sickle cell as a global health problem. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't just affect us here in America. It doesn't just affect the African-American race. It's just that, you know, that's all we know here because we are affected, you know, so much more than any other race of people, but it is a global health problem. And so talking about bone marrow and the reason we keep hitting home about more African Americans is because it's not only sickle cell, you have leukemia and a host of other diseases that are cured with bone marrow mm-hmm. transplants. And because there's not enough of us on the registry, and generally bone marrow has to be matched with someone of a similar race. And mm-hmm. so that's why it's so important. And just letting people know that it's not just sickle cell. There are many other conditions that can be treated and cured with mm-hmm. bone marrow.
Correct. Right. Good information.
And can I just
put
in a plug? Oh.
Yeah, go right ahead, Phyllis.
I just wanted to put in a plug for the organization. You can go online at scdsoldiernetwork.com and go to the recruiting station page and fill out information, and, you know, we'll get back with you. That's one of the things that I'm really advocating is that more people get in and support the work that we're doing to bring more awareness to sickle cell disease. and the need for bone marrow.
Excellent, excellent. You know, we definitely appreciate that information. And like I said, you know, at the beginning of the show, family, we're going to dedicate a whole lot of time to that on Friday. And I'm really hoping that some of the faithful and unfaithful, because I know who you are, Jantai, will tune in on Friday and, you know, get an earful when it comes to this. But let's talk about dyslexia again. We're going to go back to Sherry. Now, Sherry, I've been meaning to ask you, you know, throughout the show, are there any nonprofits out there or organizations that fit along that category that you can think of? And this is a big hint, Sherry, that you can think of that you might want to mention to the family. It's a huge hint.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, thank you. Actually, through the passion and the struggle of dealing with the disability, I had had in my heart for a long time to actually, it's through kind of a combination of things. I think God was talking to me as which way I should go with my life and what I had, what my strengths were. So through my life, I love to renovate and things like that. I can tear a house apart and put it back together. So something told me I've always wanted to fight for people. I've been on leprosy colonies in Japan and also worked in School of Hope with Mongoloid Down Syndrome, and that may not be the correct term now. However, I've always been very passionate and protective of people that have differences. That goes from the homeless population to people that struggle economically, and especially people that physically have need alterations to have independent living, and that means retrofitting housing for people with disabilities. So I formed a nonprofit. It's called Sunrise ADA Foundation, and that was granted to me through the Internal Revenue as a legal nonprofit. And what I have the ability to do is purchase homes. Don't have homes donated. If you want to donate a home to Sunrise ADA, I would love to have that home, because what the plans are is to renovate that property so anyone with an ADA, if they have an ADA disability, especially needing retrofitted housing, meaning wide, you know, doors that are wider, countertops that are lower in the kitchen so they can get around with their physical, most likely physical disability, if they need Braille in throughout the house to get around, I will make those alterations. And the biggest thing I would have in my heart is to walk away and see a person that had lived, you know, not with freedom, able to live with freedom. And that's the, under the Department of Rehabilitation, one of the things that they are supposed to be doing is helping people have independent living. And I said, well, I, being a product of going through and somewhat being disappointed, I didn't feel that that was so true. So my passion and my protectiveness for people with struggles is that they have the right to have independent living. And so that's part of my nonprofit. So part of it will be having homes donated, renovating those homes, raising funds to renovate the property and things like that. So if anyone out there listening has any property or they want to make a tax donation, please, you know, get in contact with me. I have a website that's under development, so I can't say go there, but I will give you my number, which is 404-805-1845. And you would actually help me to spearhead this nonprofit. It was just granted October 2009. So we're a legal nonprofit, and love to hear from anyone that has any supportive services in that arena.
Well, Phyllis, I think she got the hint this time, don't you?
I did.
You know, I said, well, let me let her start and go as far up as she wants to go. And she talked about her business ventures, and she shared a lot of her success in that arena. And that was great, but we wanted to hear about the nonprofit.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate that. I'm not shy about it. I actually think that was the reason. If I look back in my life, I think, well, I had dyslexia because I was going to get my license. And then I did this because I'm supposed to do a nonprofit. So I'm kind of listening to the Spirit. Spirit told me to do things, and I'm trying to be halfway obedient. And also, it is a passion. Part of the nonprofit, I have the ability to sell the property. And of course, it would be at a discounted rate. I have the capability to try to match the person with a disability that wants to buy the property that was renovated to have the funding, at least I have connections that will help you with the funding, and it'll be at a lot lower cost than it would be your average home, because this is a nonprofit. So also I'm looking to renovate properties and have people rent those properties, as it relates to perhaps they couldn't purchase. But my thing is independent living. So the epitome of independent living is that you live like anyone else and you have your own house that you have bought and things like that, if that's what this person with a disability can do. And we're going into some other avenues that I hope for long term with the Sunrise ADA, which will help people that have disabilities mentor with people that can help aid them in the working, so they can even work to earn a wage to have all the things that everyone else has. So there's a trickle-down theory to this, but I'm going to start with the retrofitted housing and things like that, and then we'll work into the employment and that kind of thing.
Interesting. And like I said, I wanted you to put that out there, because, family, you know, one of the things that we like to do, especially on the Don Adams Jr. Show, is when we put things out there or subjects or topics or issues, we want to offer solutions. Now, not those politician voted in type solutions where you see folks on TV with the with the bright white teeth and the pretty suits and they're saying, hey, we passed the law to do. No, we want to say, is that tangible? No, not at all. We want to say this. We want to put information out there that people can physically go and say, hey, I heard such and such. I can go here and get help. Something that you can put your hands on and not go read about. So that's why we like to put both sides of the coins out there, especially when we talk about topics like the ones that we're talking about tonight. And that's why I wanted Sherry to point out her nonprofit. So I said all that to say that. And she finally got that hand. But with that being said, and I know the family, I've got some, ladies, I have comments in the blog room, but I'm struggling to get it back open again. So what we're going to do, family, is we're going to take a brief break, and we're going to come back, and then we're going to read to the ladies some comments that we're and questions that we're having coming across in the blog room. So stick with us, family. For those of you who, instead of working me like I'm being worked tonight, would rather call in, the number to call in is 718-664-6543. You can call in basically just say your comments. All right? But stick with us, family. We'll be right back.
That's right. Reality check, and I'm in. Street life, eh? Dookie. Scorpion. Yeah. When I was young, I used to dream of being rich. Having a lot of houses and cars, couldn't know which one was which. And finding me a chick and getting hitched. Living the fairy tale life, perfect without a glitch. You think that this will bring me happiness? If at the end of every rainbow there was a treasure chest, sometimes having more is really less. Take a look inside yourself, you realize you're really blessed. No matter how you're sad and blue, there's always someone who has it worse than you. Sometimes you gotta pay your dues, so don't worry, just push on through.
Keeping it real.
Gotta dig up all my people who be working on the future, though they know they gotta struggle.
Keeping it real.
So all my homies working on the 9 to 5 and doing right to keep themselves up out of trouble.
Keeping it real.
Although sometimes I know it seems impossible, there ain't no need in counting in your sorrow.
Keeping it real.
If things are as bad as they can be, you could be sure to be a brighter tomorrow. I never got to have myself the house, the mansion, and the bed. I'm not the kind of brother who'd be making mad at. I got myself a girl, but we'd be kicking it as friends. It's not enough, we made it out the pens again. Not everything you want is everything you really need. The standard of society's motivated by greed. Are you prepared to follow them, or are you prepared to leave? So persevering, you succeed.
Keeping it real.
Gotta dig up all my people who be working on the future, though they know they gotta struggle.
Keeping it real.
To all my homies working on the 9 to 5 and doing right to keep themselves up out of trouble.
Keeping it real.
Although sometimes I know it seems impossible, there ain't no need in drowning in your sorrow.
Keeping it real.
If things are as bad as they can be, you could be sure there'll be a brighter tomorrow. All the harsh realities appear to come in twos and threes. Don't worry, cause there'll be a better day. One thing I can promise you, just keep on keeping on. I swear to you, there's gonna be a brighter day. A lot of houses and cars, couldn't know which one was which. And finally you're sick and getting hitched, living a fairy tale life, perfect without a glitch. You think that this is really happiness? If at the end of every rainbow there was a treasure chest, sometimes having more is really less. So take a look inside yourself, you realize you're really blessed. No matter how you're sad and blue, there's always someone to have it worse than you. Sometimes you gotta pay your dues, so don't worry, just push on through.
Keep it real.
Gotta be up all my people who be working on the future, though they know they gotta struggle.
Keep it real.
So all my people's working on the 9 to 5 and doing right to keep themselves up out of trouble.
Keep it real.
Although sometimes I know it seems impossible, there ain't no need in drowning in your sorrow.
Keep it real.
If things are as bad as they can be, you could be sure to be a brighter tomorrow. That's right, come on. Yeah. Get on this way, Avino. When you see that it's bad, there's always somebody that's worse, you know what I'm saying? Give your blessing to me. Wah 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 wah. Wah 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 wah.
Hey, welcome back, family. Welcome back, family, to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Got some interesting stuff on the line, as always. We're talking about dyslexia, and we're also talking about bone marrow transplantation. Two interesting topics. You know, and at the top of the show, family, we talked about some of the symptoms and the signs of dyslexia and some of those things that we often miss, you know, when dealing with our children. And we have on the line with the two Sherry Fairfax, who's out of the Atlanta area. And Phyllis, I'm sorry, I forgot your last name.
It's Phyllis Thomas.
Thomas,
and
I'm sorry,
also
Phyllis.
In the Atlanta area.
Yeah, she's also in the Atlanta area. And, you know, Sherry shared with us, and I think for the first time publicly, was that she's dyslexic. Also, come with that. Now, and I say that to set the stage for this, family. There are an overwhelming majority of people out there who are dyslexic and who have gone on to live successful lives and careers in their prospective fields. Tom Cruise, I know she mentioned Picasso was one. But I say that to say this, you know, at the top of the hour of the show, family, one of the things that I mentioned right away was that, you know, dyslexia, before it was ever identified, was probably, in my opinion, one of the biggest reasons why so many people were locked away, because no one knew what the issue was. It was unidentified. Therefore, there was no cure for it or no method of treatment for that condition. What do you think about that, Sherry?
Well, yeah, I want to address that because, you know, I'm going to put some light on something you said. You said treating the condition. The condition, I haven't seen in my years that it has been treated. What I have seen is coping mechanisms and compensating mechanisms to help you through your life to deal with the disability. I don't feel, and I'm okay with it not going away because I've learned how to deal with it, or I'm used to it being there. I don't like it, but I've just gotten used to it, you know. So, you know, the thing of you overcoming it, I haven't seen that in my own life. I've heard it out there, but I haven't seen it from my eyes that it's been overcome. I've just seen ways that it's been helping you to compensate or deal with the issue. I don't think it goes away. You're born with this. You just learn how to deal with it in different ways. One, you know, I wish it was something I created, but Dragon, naturally speaking, is a software that I use. That it's reasonable now as far as paying for it. I want to say on the level of the Dragon, naturally speaking, I use, is it costs about $900, $800, $1,000, somewhere in that range. And with that software, it allows me to do some things that, quote, normal people do without having to have a right-hand person. So that's the dictating software that I speak about. But with those aids, these are things that help you to be competitive in a market that you have a disability. It's like me walking around or needing a wheelchair. I use another supportive device to help me. You just don't see it. Some of these battles in the workplace as far as being discriminated against, it brings up some of these issues, aids that a person may be able to legally have in order to do a job, to not be discriminated against. But it happens every day in the workplace, and people typically don't know how to come out with it and tell an employer, I have a disability that needs, and I need a compensating aid, and this is my aid that I need. And under the law, if it's not undue hardship to that employer, they need to accommodate, or otherwise they could be seeking legal damages, and the person with the disability could possibly go and sue that employer for not looking at a reasonable accommodation.
Interesting. Got a little bit of a law lesson in there too, family. You know, and I guess the point being is that, and I like the way she put that, because for those of you who don't know, Ms. Fairfax is a fairly attractive young lady. And I think that when she mentioned about disabilities that are not visibly seen, excuse me, I think that one of the things she probably was alluding to was that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that, you know, and I think she said it eloquently, is that just because you can't see a disability doesn't mean that there's not one that exists. So, you know, people should take that into account, because I know that dyslexia is one of those things that most times comes up in conversation or comes up as a passing insult. And a lot of times we will say things and do things without knowing that someone next to us or in our midst has this condition. You know, and I put that out there because I would hate to say that somebody would go to a special needs basketball game where everybody was, all the players were in wheelchairs, and stand out in the middle of nowhere and say, hey, you know, blah, 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 and crack a joke about, you know, legs being missing.
Or you need to get up and run down the court. So
right.
Exactly.
And so, you know, the thing, again, I want to put it out there is that, you know, dyslexia is a very, very, very common issue. Dyslexia is the most common learning disability that's out there, because there's a list of learning disorders that are out there, but I know a lot of the family didn't know that this dyslexia is the most common learning disability out there. 80% of students with learning disorders have dyslexia. That and family, that means by the numbers that even though the child may be identified as something else, be it ADHD or whatever else is out there, dyslexia has a high likely percentage rate of being attached to that condition. So that adds, you know, an additional issue for that. And for those of you who didn't know, dyslexia affects boys more than it affects girls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure does. Mm-hmm.
Phyllis, any comments on that?
No, not really, because, I mean, I'm just I think that a lot of people should be able to really kind of identify with this subject matter, even if they don't know for sure that someone has it, because I'm thinking of, you know, just other family members that have admitted to having it. But now it sometimes becomes kind of a joke. You know what I'm saying? People, mm-hmm. when they misspell something, they'll be like, oh, my God, that's dyslexia acting up.
Exactly.
And they make light
And that's exactly why I said, you know what, I wanted to mention that, you know, hey, be aware, because, you know, just because you see a person and you don't see a disability, sometimes you just never know.
Right.
And, you know, I've been in case management, and I was also a probation officer here, which was basically case management. But there were so many people that would come through the criminal justice system and were arrested and, you know, had been processed and even incarcerated, that had learning disabilities, and you know, so a lot of those were dyslexia, or several other things. But when they would go to court, people, unbeknowing, would say nasty, mean things about some of the things that these people were accused of doing, not realizing that, you know what, there was something wrong, and they couldn't fathom the fact that this person may have been handicapped, for a better, lack of a better term, because
mm-hmm.
they couldn't see it.
Right.
And so, therefore, you know, hey, you know, just because we can't see it, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And that's why I put that out there. What do you think about that, Sherry and Phyllis?
Actually, I'll speak on my daughter for a minute. My daughter and I, I was taking her to school one day, and she knows I have the disability, and I'm very open with my kids that knew I had it. So at a certain point, instead of having, if something came up difficult for me, I'd ask, how you spell such and such, or how is this, you know, that, or that kind of thing, because they're in my inner circle, and it was safe. But I had my daughter one time, she struggles with disability, but not as severe as mine. And, she was going to school, and she started seemingly frustrated with trying to master a test and get a good grade. And she said, nobody understands. Nobody understands. I said, Monique, I understand. You know, you're talking to someone that has that and deals with it. I understand. And then she kind of cried, or we kind of had a moment of having the same struggle. And I said, it's okay. We'll find a way that you deal with this. It'll just be another way. And these kids lots of times need help, or even an adult with self-esteem sometimes, because depending if they have not found a way out to be an equal in society, you don't want to hear the fact that you're illiterate. That's not the case. You just have another way of processing, and you hurt by terms of somebody, or you're stupid, or you just have this, that. That's hurtful to the person with the disability that feels like they're all by themselves and nobody understands. So people need to watch the terms. I tend to be very sensitive to comedians that make light of people with disabilities, physical or mental, because you know, you're laughing at someone that it hurts inside to be made fun of, you know. So I don't agree with that. I mean, it's I think it's a poor taste, you know. I never like to see it when I hear it happen. So.
And also, Dunn, I wanted to bring it up from a male's perspective. Having my younger brother, he's only 2 years younger than I am, so we're very, very close, and I've always been kind of that protector. So whenever he, let's say when he was a teenager and he wanted to write that special little love note, I always proofed it first and things like that. And I think it's very important that people have a support system. And mm-hmm. that they garner the type of support that will allow them to be vulnerable without, you know, running the risk of total exposure, so to speak. So,
right.
you know, being
right.
able to recognize that someone is struggling in that area and be of help to them is not necessarily being a hindrance.
That's correct. Mm. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
I agree with that 100%. Very well said, ladies. Very well said. You know, it's very interesting. You know, to hear another perspective on the topic, both from a male and female perspective. I like the way you put that. But, you know, I just want to just continuously point out to the family that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, this is a social issue. That's how I look at a lot of things, social issues that we as a society, I won't say at this point that we fail to acknowledge or fail to try to work with it within our own groups, and I'm not talking African American, everybody, as a society, and we have failed to address it, you know, goes off to those that have the courage and the wherewithal to stand up and say the things that need to be said as far as this condition is concerned. You know, with that being said, you know, Friday night, family, we're going to dedicate a great portion of the show to bone marrow transplants. And a part of the reason for tonight's show, which was dyslexia, and also touching on the subject of bone marrow transplants, is because of a young lady who is definitely in need of a bone marrow transplant from stem cells. I'm not, forgive me, family, if I butcher the terms up here. But with that being said, we have this Phyllis Thomas, and she is bringing to us the story of a young lady who is in need. Phyllis, you want to tell us more about it? Tell us about this young lady again?
Well, yeah. I actually have not known her very long, but when you hear her story, you can't help but to want to reach out and do whatever it is that you can to help her. And like I said earlier, she's 15 years old. She's been on the bone marrow registry for 5 years now without a successful match. And she's had a host of problems. I'm hoping that by Friday we'll be able to actually sit down and let her, you know, give you a transparent look into what her life has been like with sickle cell disease, which is a very harsh disease. And very much like dyslexia, you don't know necessarily that a person has it by their outward appearance. Mm. And but it does a job on the inside. And so Taylor has been battling this for 15 years. And in order to even be considered for a bone marrow, you know you have to have had some severe problems. And mm-hmm. so that just kind of broke my heart, and I just decided, hey, look, any chance I get to talk about Taylor and to let it be made known that she's in need of a bone marrow or stem cell match so that she can have this procedure before her 16th birthday, which is coming up August 15th. So we are really in a mad dash. The Apex Museum is actually a donor center. So if you're in the Atlanta area and you want to stop by the Apex, give Mr. Dan Moore a call. Let him know you want to get on the registry to see if perhaps you could be a match for Taylor John or anyone else that's looking for a match. And if you live outside of the Atlanta area, check with the folks over at Be the Match. And they can give you more details on how to get on the registry wherever you are. As a matter of fact, they have a campaign now where you can do that from the luxury of your home. They'll send you a kit, and it's just the swab in your cheek just to get that DNA, and you just stick it back in the pack and mail it in. It's very simple, and it's very easy.
It's painless. You know, when I signed up to be on a bone marrow, this is Cherie, you know, I had, you know, I donated blood and, you know, get a stick. Now you're just swabbing your cheek and seal it up in an envelope and send it off, you know. So it's painless. And I was called, it was 7 years after the time I signed up to find out I was a match. You may never be called at all. However, don't decide to get on the registry if you think you're not going to go through with it, because we don't want to go into it, really, but it's hard not to speak about it. I'll say this real quick, is that there are stories out that have actually happened. 20 people have matched for a little girl, and no one stood up to the plate to go through with the actual donation process. So there's people sometimes out there that match. So you just shouldn't sign up if you don't think you're going to go through with it. I was honored. I was so honored. You know, I feel like, you know, God asked me to do it, and it wasn't a hard thing to do to help somebody to live. And so it was an honor. Mm-hmm. But we'll go into that Friday. It's passion and story as well on that side. But please think about this little girl. Time is ticking for her, and you may not match for her, but you may match for someone else, and you may cross into the other races as well, because as us, you know, African Americans, there's so much multicultural mixing that that you could possibly, you know, it could be a Caucasian person. However, most likely it's going to be someone of our that looks like us with African American.
Yeah, I was
going to
say. Yeah, I was going to say, I know that Phyllis had mentioned earlier that, you know, the donor has to be someone of the same race. But,
no.
And I was curious because, I'm like I said, I'm new to it. But I was going to be like, well, you know, what if somebody, I mean, is it really that narrow? Because what if someone that was in another race, you know, because I know with kidneys you can do or with body transplants you can do that. You hear what I'm saying, Phyllis?
Yeah, the point that I was trying to make was that you have a better chance because of the different antigens and that are race specific. It's just like anything else, like, you know, that the DNA presents. But yeah, surely there are some other races that would be a match. But when you look at the donor pool and you see of all of the donors, only 8% of them are African Americans. But, you know, the need is much more greater than that. All of the information that, you know, I've been privy to pretty much, you know, lended to that theory. So, Cherie, if you have some other information on that, I would love to hear it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the gentleman that I matched, that I was a genetic match for, in which I helped him to, I was a donor for, he was 38 years old with acute leukemia. And they said, you know, I have not got an opportunity to meet him. There's a possibility that we may be able to meet. But anyway, he probably looks, he may be a brother, however, and he may be a distant relative or something. However, we are very close. We're very close in our genetic makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's yet a male, and he's an African-American male. That's 38 that had acute leukemia. And so when I did the donation with the stem cells, doctor needed stem cells for this gentleman, they told me he was a pretty big guy. So I went home from Memory Hospital, and they said, we might call you back tomorrow. And they called me back, and I gave him some more stem cells, which didn't hurt me because I was glad to get rid of these excess stem cells that my body wasn't accustomed to. But anyway, that the It wasn't like the bad horror movies that you see out there. And some of those stories is a misnomer to the process. It's not that bad. It's not like that. And I'll talk about exactly what it felt like for me on Friday, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, Sherry, we've got about 2 minutes left in the show, and, you know, I wanted to kind of, you know, start the wrap-up on it. But, you know, this bone marrow transplant, family, is a very, very serious topic. And you know, and I don't want it to sound biased, but everybody, regardless of race, color, and whatever makeup you may be, needs to go out and do it. I'm planning on doing it. I think we all need to do it. Go out and get tested to see if we could save a life. You know, I like to say, you know, in going out, is that, you know, if you ever wondered what it would be like to be on the other side of something, you know, just ask somebody to take a walk in your shoes. It could be you today or it could be them tomorrow, but, you know, take a walk in somebody else's shoes. You know, I want to thank the guests for tuning in with us tonight and some valuable information. And keep this in mind, family. Friday night, we're going to dedicate a great portion of the show, at least an hour and some change, to the bone marrow transplant topic. And we're also going to touch on some other health care issues as well. We're trying to give you some things, family, that we know you can use rather than that old... And ladies, I'm being very cautious because most people that know me, listen to my shows, know that I'm quite the radical. Sherry, you've been on the show before. Mm-hmm. You know that I'm quite... I am quite the radical, and I'm trying to maintain my composure because of the topic, man. But at the end of the day, family, y'all know... But you know what? At the end of the day, family, it's going to be on and popping Friday night, I can tell you that. So tune in Friday night, family, with Sherry and Phyllis, and we're going to chop it up about the bone marrow transplant. We're gonna have some. We're gonna put it out there. We're also gonna put it back out there about the Taylor John story. Very interesting story, family. So until then, just remember this: once you know better, you can't go back. This is Don Adams Jr. and I appreciate your time. We'll talk to you Friday night, family.
Bye bye. Bye bye.
Ooh, yeah. Do you mind if I tell the truth for a second, y'all?
Tell the truth.
Yeah.